Hey there, I'm Beverly Sartain, and this is the Holistic Coach Legacy Podcast, where you get support in being an impactful and confident coach. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking with Susan Young about embracing the reckoning that happens around the year of being 50 years old. This episode is all about reassessing your life so that you have a great trajectory of how you're moving forward. This doesn't have to only happen around the age of 50, but for many women, it does. And so I hope that you gain great wisdom from this episode today. Thank you for being here. Welcome, Susan. So great to have you on the podcast today. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'm so excited that we get to have this conversation today. And so for the sake of our listeners, they always like to hear a little bit about your backstory and how you got into coaching. So what would you like to share with us about that?
Yeah. It's a long story, so I'll give the Cliff Notes version so that we have time to talk about something else. So probably 28 years ago or so, my background's in interior design, and I got a position in that, which was really something I was passionate about, but due to circumstances at the time, it ended up becoming a design slash sales position. And then for a variety of reasons, it kind of just became a sales position. And so I sort of fell into that without really any intention at the time. But for a long time, it was challenging. It was exciting. It was really flexible, which worked well with my life. But then, over time, I changed a lot. The industry changed a lot. And my heart just wasn't really in it. And, I began to recognize that it was quite a huge drain on my energy. And at the same time, I really began to feel like I was just not living up to my potential at all. And I kind of plateaued in my work and kind of felt stuck because I felt like my experience would lead me to similar sort of work. And then at age 49, there were just multiple massive life changes for me. And so a lot of things happened to positive. And so it became really apparent how much, it really stood out how much the work itself was really draining me. And so I was really kind of desperate to try to figure out something else and what to do. And at that time, I'd also started a creative practice, started during the pandemic. And I just was just thinking, what can I do to combine my interests and my skills and my passions and my strengths? And coaching had come across my radar by that point. I really had not, I was not aware of it more than several years ago. And so I was racking my brain. I thought, I wish there was someone that I could talk to that I could kind of just, speak to about all this. And then I just suddenly, it was like this light bulb moment. I just thought, or I could be that person. And suddenly everything just sort of crystallized. It was just this very instant, that's it. It's something meaningful. I feel really passionate about helping women my age kind of come through the sort of life changes that I have. And so that was it. I went on a search for coach training programs and, pretty quickly came across the Holistic Coach Training Institute. And I think I had seen two other sites before then. And when I landed on a Holistic Coach Training Institute, I just thought, that's it. And I literally booked, I never even had a discovery call for the program. I just signed up and I've never looked back. And it was one of the best decisions of my life.
That's great, Susan. It's so neat to hear your story as you're sharing. And I haven't shared this with you. my mom was 50 when she got a divorce. And she had been married 29 and a half years to my dad. And at 50, we moved to a different town, her and I, a new house, the divorce. There's a lot of transition that happened. And as you were just sharing that, that memory came in that I was like part of all of her shifts that were happening. So I honor the work that you're doing, and I have a strong connection to it. Anything else come through for you when you hear me say that to you?
Just that I just think that, you know, this is so common. At age 50, this just happens a lot. And, you know, it just becomes kind of an unfolding. You know, one thing leads to another, leads to another.
Yeah. You use the word reckoning in your work, and I'm curious what that word means to you.
Yeah, I was giving that some thought. And I would say I would kind of define it as sort of an honest, brave check-in and review of our lives, past, present, and future. And I was curious because I had used the word, but I hadn't actually looked up the definition. It felt like it was the right word. And it was interesting to see some of the old definitions or kind of archaic terms as sort of, it's an accounting as for things received or done, an appraisal, a calculation, a settlement of sorts. And then there can also be some negative connotations, which is not my intent, but sort of like a day of reckoning and kind of maybe even some synonyms that come up are like retribution and judgment. So I think that that it's not at all a negative thing, but I think the way I came to the word reckoning is that in the sense you may discover some things in this process that you already know deep down, but have been afraid to acknowledge or allow yourself to think about. And kind of maybe you're at a point where you know you have the fortitude to accept and trust your findings.
Nice. Yeah. And so this word comes up in the work that you're doing. How come you think it's important for a woman over 50 to explore maybe their own reckoning?
Yeah. I think that women my age have largely set themselves aside for decades. We, particularly my generation, we've been applauded for putting everyone else's needs before our own. We're conditioned to feel guilty about prioritizing ourselves. We've learned to keep ourselves small. Many of us have confidence issues, limiting beliefs. You know, we're busy, we're exhausted, we're burned out. And all of these things have made it difficult to have time and space for self-reflection or to even feel like we deserve that. And so there's this just natural inclination, I think, at this point in life with the age, and I've just heard this countless times where, you know, you begin to think as you recognize your mortality, like, what am I doing here? Where am I headed? What's important to me? I need to take a pause and reflect and make sure that I know where I'm going and that I don't have regrets down the line.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's this age and life stage where maybe we have been very consumed with this very standardized way of going through life, like getting married and having kids and being there for everybody else. And there seems to be something around this age of 50 where, as you say, there's an opportunity to take a pause to really make sure that you're going through the rest of your life in an intentional way that includes you and your passions and your likes and your dislikes, and, you know, that you're just really living a life now for yourself and not just other people. So how, you know, what was the big reckoning that happened for you? I know you gave a little bit of it in your description of how you came into coaching, but anything else that you might want to share with us about this?
Yeah, I've had a whole series of pretty big reckonings, all starting, you know, at the age of 49, I'd say. So my first one really was addressing my problem with alcohol. I recognized that, you know, I was using it to kind of take the edge off, and that, you know, I had been trying to cut back for quite some time and finally just resigned to the fact that I was not able to do that. And, you know, it was a big reckoning because, you know, I just realized if I continue on this trajectory, you know, I'm going to die. So kind of alongside that, with that was the first thing that needed to happen. And the reason that was a problem was because I had never addressed some, you know, traumas from 20 years before in my childhood and my young adulthood, and had gotten out of some situations and just kind of shut the door and never really addressed those at all. And, you know, trauma can only hold itself at bay for so long. And I think that that was all starting to bubble up. And, you know, so those kind of both came unraveling at the same time. And then, you know, I got professional help, you know, years long professional help. And then with the help of that and meditation, yoga and journaling and art guidance, introduction of somatic processing, and a lot of psychoeducation, I became just very, very aware of my own feelings the first time, what my needs were, my reactions, my patterns, and I could see all sorts of dynamics that weren't visible to me before within myself and with other relationships. And, you know, with these blinders removed, when I was then able to kind of notice things outside of myself, I realized that my marriage was not healthy at all. It was really codependent. And, you know, I'll just speak for myself to say that I know I was seeking approval outside of myself and, you know, really self-abandoned myself in any way possible to get approval. And, you know, I realized that although this part of my life and my marriage was very different than what had happened earlier in my life, it was still a pattern of people pleasing and, you know, not prioritizing myself or not even really paying attention to myself. So my 26-year marriage ended and I got divorced at 54, I think. And then kind of back full circle to where we started was that the, you know, everything in my life had changed so much. I had moved to a new house, but my career had never changed. And, you know, it was really only deepening my sense that, you know, I was not doing what I was meant to do. It was just, it was, you know, I needed to be challenged. I was just kind of stifled. And that's where we get back to the beginning. So that's where I kind of had my epiphany and I found coaching. And I'm quite sure that if I knew about coaching, years before, I would have done it many years before. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad it came across my radar when it did.
That's great. Yeah. And then, you know, you also use this word like unleashing creativity, you know, so I'm curious, you went through this extraordinary discovery and healing process. So I just, first of all, want to acknowledge that. And I appreciate you sharing the bits and pieces of it, as I feel a lot of us are on this journey of discovering the truth of who we are. And so for you, like on the other side of all of these changes that happen, what do you feel like was unleashed or was waiting to be unleashed inside of you?
Oh, so much. I'd say what it did for me in a simple sentence is it freed me to be me. And that for the first time in my life, and that was kind of the first domino.
And so I would say what was waiting to be unleashed is, was my self-expression, fun, my authentic self without apology, my contribution to the world, fulfillment, a purpose, a vastly expanded understanding of my capabilities and strengths, and yeah, just a full, beautiful life.
And what creativity has been a part of this reckoning for you?
That's played a big role during the pandemic, you know, when we were all in lockdown. And this was also sort of when things were unraveling at home. I just had an urge to go grab my art supplies from art school. I hadn't touched them in 25 years. And it really saved me at the time. It just allowed me to kind of reach some emotions that I didn't have words for. I just kind of just did some intuitive art, and I just noticed that it just sparked, sparked some passion in me that I hadn't felt in a long time, like just this excitement of doing it. It was also very meditative, kind of like lost time. And so it was a really wonderful way to just ground myself when everything else was sort of out of control. And then this just feeling of the groundedness, but just the spark of passion just made me feel so alive. And I just wanted more of that, you know? And I think that everyone has something in them that will give them that feeling. And it's such a great learning tool to learn about yourself. It's kind of like a window into the soul. And I think, you know, there's a perception sometimes when people hear creativity that it just means art and painting, and it you know, really can be anything that anybody creates from nothing is creative. You know, it could be cooking and writing and woodworking and events or anything. So yeah, it just saved me. It gives me great insight and new ideas, and just, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that it can be other things. I do think that's important for people to always hear. When I was first going through my healing journey, I was super disconnected from myself, and really didn't feel like I could access, like you were saying, like my true thoughts or my true feelings, or I was just so shut down to all of that. But there was a certain part of the healing journey then all of a sudden I wanted to write again, which had been my form of being creative. I all of a sudden wanted to express like what was going on inside of myself. And my way of being creative was through writing. And so there's different ways that we can be creative. And I think it's okay for people to know, like, you might not have a strong connection at first, but at a certain part in your recovery or healing journey, there will come a time where you want to voice something or express something or share something a little bit more. And sometimes finding a medium to do it through can be fun and helpful, so that it's not something that has to be done with other people. Any other thoughts about it, Susan?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just so true. And I think that, it's just a matter of kind of finding what that one thing is. I think there's like a human need to be able to authentically self-express yourself. And, you know, there are sort of right brain, a whole bunch of right brain activities that one can do to kind of just kind of tap into that right side of the brain and open it up. And, you know, and that could lead to discovering what it is that, you know, that you would like to create ultimately.
Yeah. What would be your favorite right brain exercise to share if you had one?
I guess one that comes to mind is using your non-dominant hand. So you can like ask yourself some questions with your dominant hand and then answer with your non-dominant hand.
And I don't have the science readily available to my tongue. But, you know, it's definitely a practice that works. And, you know, your handwriting ends up looking like, you know, like you're about seven. Yeah. And, you know, I guess part of it is you're sort of forced to let go of any expectations of what it's supposed to look like, because you can't. I think that's a lot of, you know, a lot of people have fear about art or creating something because they have this preconceived notion in their mind of what it's supposed to look like. And, you know, when you're doing something with the writing or something else with your non-dominant hand, then, you know, you have so little control and you have to let go of that and then just go with the flow.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So what are you currently creating, since you're, you know, someone who enjoys creating things? What are you currently creating in your coaching business that's feeling fulfilling for you?
I have been working on a reassessment, a sort of a 90-minute intensive reassessment. I sort of on a mission to, I would love to take 50 women through this reassessment, where it's kind of just get a kickstart, like a deep dive, maybe identify some areas that need reassessment. And then kind of pull those out and begin to do some exploration around those and come up with some action steps to move forward, anything you may want to do with that. So that's coming out. I will have that available in a couple weeks' time. And I also do the one-to-one coaching on anything that people would like to be coached on, but that's kind of my main focus right now as a program.
Great. And what do you think that people will get out of doing this reassessment? I guess we're looking at women in their 50s and 60s, correct?
Yeah. I think that people will be able to kind of take all the aspects of their life and kind of just take it apart and kind of set it down and take a look and see, you know, if you're on the right trajectory, how do you feel about things? And, you know, one thing to keep in mind too, I think, is since there is sometimes some fear, I think a lot of us keep really busy. And, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, there might be some things you might not want to discover. But I think it's also important to remember that a reassessment doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong and it needs to change. It just means that you're taking the time to pause and evaluate and see if anything needs to change. And if it doesn't, great. You're on the right track, but then you can kind of move forward with intention and not second guess your path and just know that, yeah, I've checked in. Where I'm going is where I need to be going. I feel good. But it's important to identify if something's not right and you want to make some adjustments. And so there's the opportunity to kind of catch that now and address those areas that you might want to be making some changes in, and so that you can move forward with an intentional path to create the life that you want and without regrets.
Yeah. And I think that you always have the choice point. You know, it's good to look and have the awareness, and then the person can always decide if they want to make that change now or need to prepare to make the change in some sort of way. So it's always right. Better to look and have the information, and then
exactly
you can make your own decisions.
Mm-hmm. And maybe nothing needs to be adjusted, or maybe you find something, but it's all in your control, right? What you choose to do with that information is entirely up to you.
Wonderful. And is this something that if people are listening in a few months or maybe next year, is this something that they could still reach out to you about if they were interested in doing this reassessment and taking a pause and looking at life areas with you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really on a push right now, but I just feel that this is really core to my mission. And what I feel is so important for women over 50, women in their 50s and 60s to take the time to to explore. And so I will always have this as an offer on my webpage and always be available for that. Absolutely.
Great. Yeah. And if we have any women that are under 50 that are listening to this podcast, what would your message be to them?
I think that this can certainly apply to anyone. I mean, it's always a good point. I think it's always good practice to, with any major life transition, if something's changed in your life, to take that time to reassess and to just not keep running through that. I think, you know, my focus has been over 50 just because of the age. And I think there's this natural, change and instinct to do that. But we're all better off, if we can make these adjustments and pay attention as we go along through life. And, you know, I feel like 50 is somewhat of a magical number from my experience and people I talk to, that there's something that happens then. But that's certainly not to say that women in their 40s are not beginning to think, you know, what is my trajectory? Do I feel good about this? And, you know, it can happen at any time. And I know certainly with me, like, had I paused or had I been able to pause earlier in my life, a lot would have been different. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful message that we can start looking now and seeing if there's anything that we need to assess and do differently. And yes, that there's some particular shift that happens around 50. So we can prepare for that, but we can start preparing and making some changes now. And what would your invitation be to women that are over 50, this 50s and 60s group of women?
You know, I just would invite you to reach out if this resonates with you. If you recognize yourself somewhere in here, I would love to work with you, support you. You could reach out for a discovery call so that we could talk kind of one-on-one about what your situation is. You know, if you feel like you're ready to dive in and kind of want to go into a reassessment, that's, you know, readily available. Yeah, if you want to keep in touch, I have a biweekly newsletter called The Empowered Collective for all things women over 50. And, you know, I kind of share some thought-provoking questions and some insights and tips there. And also have some, you know, resources on LinkedIn. So those are ways we can connect. But I would just, you know, encourage everybody to embrace this time. And it's, you know, I think for me, my 50s are my best decade ever. And I've heard this many, many, many times. It's just, there's just a lot out there. And it's really exciting.
That's great, Susan. And for you, like, what are you hoping to leave behind in terms of legacy when it comes to the work that you're doing?
I want to help as many women as possible to step into their own power, prioritize themselves without guilt, express themselves without apology, and create a joyful, purposeful future without any regrets. And I think every woman that claims her rightful place in this world has a collective impact for all women.
Beautiful. So we'll put your information in the show notes so that people can reach out to you. I'm encouraging anybody listening that's in 50s or 60s to connect with Susan and do a reassessment. Just see where you're at and see where you're headed so that you can be as intentional as possible. Anything else that's on your heart to say or share, Susan, before we wrap up?
Just thank you for having me on here and being able to share my work and, you know, reach some more women out there who may want to kind of, you know, take a look at their life. And I just really appreciate the space and you allowing me to come on here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for your time And I'm absolutely encouraging people to reach out and connect with you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
If there's only one thing to take away from today's episode, it's the act of reassessing where you are in your life. And if you're in your 50s or 60s and you would like to reassess with Susan, please check out our show notes and schedule a session with her. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you so much. And always remember that you can be purposeful and prosperous when sharing a legacy of loving with the world. Many blessings to you.